starting at verse 1 and jumping all over the place. And that's on Pew Bible page number 260. Let us hear our Lord's word. Now the Philistines gathered their armies for battle. They were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah, and encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephes-Damim. And there came out from the camp of the Philistines a champion named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a helmet of bronze on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. The weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had greaves of bronze on his legs and a javelin of bronze slung between his shoulders. The shaft of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and his shield bearer went before him. He stood and shouted to the ranks of Israel, "Why have come out drawn up for battle? Am I not a Philistine? And are you not servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistines said, "Today I defy the ranks of Israel. Give me a man that he may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with the keeper, took the provisions and went as Jesse commanded him. He came to the encampment as the army was going forth to battle, shouting the war cry. Israel and the Philistines drew up for battle, army against army. David left the things in charge of the keeper of the baggage, ran to the ranks, and went and greeted his brothers. As he talked with them, the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, came up out of the ranks of the Philistines and spoke the same words as before. And David heard him. David said to Saul, "Let no one's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are just a boy, and he has been a warrior from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep sheep for his father. And whenever a lion or bear came and took a lamb from the flock, I went after it and struck it down, rescuing the lamb from its mouth. And if it turned against me, I would catch it by the jaw, strike it down, and kill it. Your servant has killed both lions and bears, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be like one of them, since he has defied the armies of the living God." David said, "The Lord who saved me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear will save me from the hand of this Philistine." So Saul said to David, "Go, and may the Lord be with you." Saul clothed David with his armor. He put a bronze helmet on his head and clothed him with a coat of mail. David strapped Saul's sword over the armor, and he tried in vain to walk, for he was not used to them. Then David said to Saul, "I cannot walk with these, for I am not used to them." So David removed them. Then he took his staff in his hand, chose 5 smooth stones from the wadi, and put them in his shepherd's bag, in the pouch. His sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. The Philistine came on and drew near to David, with his shield bearer in front of him. When the Philistine looked and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and handsome in appearance. The Philistine said to David, "Am I a dog that you come at me with sticks?" And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. The Philistine said to David, Come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the field. But David said to the Philistine, you come to me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied. This very day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you down and cut off your head, and I will give the dead bodies of the Philistine army this very day to the birds of the air and to the wild animals of the earth, so that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel, and that all this assembly may know that the Lord does not save by sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hand. When the Philistine drew nearer to meet David, David ran quickly towards the battle line to meet the Philistine. David put his hand in his bag, took out a stone, slung it, and struck the Philistine on his forehead. The stone sank into his forehead, and he fell face down to the ground. Our New Testament lesson comes from Mark's Gospel. Mark Chapter 4, verses 35 through 41. Let us listen to our Lord's word. On that day, when evening had come, he said to them, let us go across to the other side. And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat on the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him up and said to him, teacher, do you not care that we are perishing? He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, peace, be still. When the wind ceased and there was a dead calm, he said to them, why are you afraid? Have you still no faith? And they were filled with awe and said to one another, who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him? Children of God, this is the word of our Lord. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you. We thank you for your word that comes seemingly from so many years ago to us and to this place. But we know that your word is a living word to us, that your word speaks to us as it spoke to the people of Israel and has spoken to your church through the ages. We ask that you would open our minds and our hearts today to what you are saying, to all that you have to speak to us and speak through us. Be with us, Lord, as we listen to your word. Be with us and guide us. In your name we pray. Amen. You know, I did my level best as I was writing my sermon to try and not use very many puns and sports analogies when I sat down with David and Goliath. But again, it was a really big David and Goliath type of battle to keep from using too many puns. Oh, come on. It was a bit like cheering against whoever the Cinderella of March Madness was this year. And it's not even talking about the different ways in which we can try and analogize this story. The thing is, Scripture challenges us again and again as we become more familiar with it. But also, even when it enters our common non-church-based lexicon. Think about it. This story transcends faith. Secular speakers talk of David and Goliath. It is that common of a story. So what do we do with it? What do we do with that story that is so entered into our ethos as humanity that we have heard so many times again and again? How do we understand this mess of mud in which we stand? When I think about this story, I think that I've probably heard it over 44 times, at least once a year since I've been alive. So how do we hear with new ears? How do we see this story as David does battle with the giant? I think for the first part, we need to understand that everything we understand about this story is wrong. We look at this this matchup and we look and we say, well, David didn't stand a chance. It's little David. Maybe he's Liam's size. And he's going against this huge giant. And that's where we begin looking at the story. But is that really the matchup? Is that really the tale of the tape? Well, it is if you look at things as Saul did. When we look at this passage and we consider, we need to see the various pieces and parts together. I know I talk a lot about seeing the pieces and parts, but they always matter in these stories. What we see even before this is that God's spirit has been taken away from Saul. God is no longer with Saul. Israel has gone astray as a people. Their hope, their stance in life is not in God, it's in humanity and its pieces and parts. They think that this king can lead them on to victory. They've put their faith in humans and not in God. And therefore, Saul looks at Goliath, and Saul's described as a fairly significant individual, and he doesn't like the matchup. He's not going to take on Goliath. The great general of the army, the great brave son of Saul, are all seeing things as them against Goliath, them facing off against the giant, and they don't like how it looks. Now, it was a common occurrence during biblical times for a war to be waged like this. You take your biggest and best, they take their biggest and best, and they fight. And whoever wins, their army won. It saved lives in many ways, if you can think about it that way. It saved lives. If you're a reader of classical literature, you think of Achilles versus Hector as a moment. You would fight their champion. And Israel has its champions. There's Abner, the general of the army. There's Jonathan, the son of Saul. There's Saul. And yet they all look at this matchup and they're like, nah, we'll go hide in our tents. As I look at this matchup, as Saul and the world was looking at it, all I can picture is the movie Warriors. Goliath going, Warriors, Israelites, come out to play. And just taunting them again and again and again. He knows, he looks at the matchup, he could take out Saul, he could take out Jonathan. But everyone looks at this matchup the wrong way. Because Goliath, when David steps to the line, Goliath is outmatched. Goliath is outmatched because David has God with him. That's the big major difference between Goliath and David and how Saul and all of the Israelite army are seeing things. Saul, Jonathan, Abner, the people of Israel all see the giant and they know they can't take him on. David instead looks at this picture and all he sees is God with him. And if you're looking at this matchup broken down, maybe it's a boxing match, maybe it's a baseball match, God always is going to win. But that speaks to where the Israelites have gone. They've chosen a king because they want to be like everybody else. They've chosen a king to rule over them instead of prophets and judges. And where is that king when Goliath comes calling? Hiding in his tent. He's hiding instead of putting his faith in God, putting his faith in the comfort of God. Now, deep down, I really want to give Saul a break and Abner and Jonathan. I want to excuse their inaction. After all, if I was going to play basketball and I walk onto the court and I see Shaq come out, I might go hide behind the curtains myself. The fact of the matter is, we always look at this problem the wrong way. We look at it from just a world human versus human perspective. We look at this moment, and of course, the bigger, badder guy is going to win. But as I look at this differently, I almost feel sorry for Goliath. He doesn't stand a chance. The second David says, God is with me, it's over. And yet David still goes. And we give credit not to God in this moment, we give it to David. So even then we see this moment, this problem differently than we should. Now there are a lot of layers in this scripture. There's the immediate side of things, this moment where David goes and he chastises Israel for their lack of faith. He says, look at me, I'm just a kid and I'm going up against this giant because God is with me. All of you are adults in the room. All of you have sat cowering and God could have been with you as well, but you put your faith in humans, in people, and not in God. And so you needed to see this. You needed to hear this as much as the Philistines did. So often we see things in an individual versus individual way. We see this moment as David versus Goliath. But it's not David versus Goliath. It's David and God versus Goliath. Scripture constantly tells us how insignificant David is. He's just a kid. He puts on Saul's armor and he could barely walk. It's almost comical when we parse that out. This kid, you know, as if he's putting on dad's suit coat, you know, trying to walk in dad's shoes, you know, stumbling around. Scripture goes out of its way to emphasize how little and small David is compared to Goliath. On the paper, in the matchup, it's very clear. Goliath stands above David. But God always stands above it all. And that transition is not something we should neglect. That transition is something that we can't lack the vision to see. Because we see the confidence of David. The confidence that, yes, I'm a kid. Yes, I couldn't walk in the king's armor. But I got this because God is with me. God's got my back. God can walk with me. Maybe he's worried. Maybe he's afraid through all of this. Maybe in his heart, it's tap, 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 tap. But he goes with this confidence, not in his own abilities and his own actions, but in God's hand being present in his life. Goliath looks bold and big as brass. He's towering over everyone. And yet the one who has comfort in the moment is David. Again and again in Scripture, God chooses people not for the significance of the individual, but because of the insignificance of us. God chooses us not because how great we are and how grand we are, but because of maybe, perhaps, our flaws. And God uses them because those flaws are seen by the world. And God sees what God can do through that individual. God chooses so many people again and again. It's the same story. God picks someone who we wouldn't pick, and yet somehow God uses them. Fishermen, average people, called to be disciples. Look at the prophets. Look at all of the judges. Everyone has a huge flaw, and yet they are still called by God. Now, consider this quote for you. Now, you likely have heard a variation of it. It comes from FDR, and we live in the Hudson Valley, so it's good to quote him. Courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the assessment that something is more important than fear. David has courage in this moment, not because he isn't full of fear, but because God and his faith is more important than that fear. Serving God triumphs over his fear. So often, that one thing that is more important for us should always be our faith. Our faith should matter more than fear. And so to serve God, David goes against Goliath. Knowing the matchup on paper, knowing how insignificant he is. Now, in the short run, we see how God's support shows forth for David, how his action highlights all that God can do through us, how his faith through fear can do so many things. But there's the transition of the greater message. What does this mean for us? While at General Synod, it was pointed out that faith is important, but faith also needs action with it. Faith alone is not just enough, but faith calls us on to act. All the faith in the world means nothing unless we are willing to act in that faith. And David does. But what about for us with a wider lens? What does the Philistine represent for us? What does Goliath show forth for us? While at General Synod, I found a quiet spot. And my body didn't adjust to the time change at all. So at about 5 o'clock in the morning, there I sat as the sun was coming up over the mountain. And I got to pray. I couldn't help marvel at God's creation. I couldn't help but think about what God does in our lives. And as I marveled at that, I thought of the great contrast between David and the army of Israel. One sees things one way. And so often that's how we see it. We look at the Philistines in our lives, the challenges, the many things that they represent, and we worry about them. How will I ever do this? How will we ever accomplish this? Well, guess what? On our own, we might. But we also might fail. But with God, through God, that's when everything is transformed and turns. With God, we can do so much more. With God, those Philistines become more down to size. With God, things change. So my challenge to all of you is, who or what are the Philistines in our lives? Who or what do the Philistines represent for us? What are the challenges that sit before us, calling out to us? And what is our response to those challenges? What do we do? Do we put our faith and trust in God as David did, or do we cower in our tents like the army of Israel? Brothers and sisters, may we put our faith and trust in the God who made us and who shapes us. Amen.